This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets. My name is Kevin and thank you to Leo for delivering yet another great morning of music. I'm also here with...
Oslam.
And?
Kate.
And Alan.
That was nice and awkward.
It was nice and awkward, and that's what happens when you don't stick to the script.
You don't script it.
No, of course not. Everything's completely off the cuff.
So this year, the National Pet Register, a pet ID database service created by the Lost Dogs Home, reunited in excess of 53,000 lost pets with their owners. With 12/12 Pet ID Day on December 12, coming up pretty soon, we ask, is your pet invisible?
Losing a pet can be heart-wrenching, and today we're going to learn how the simple act of identifying your pet betters the chance of a reunion.
So I think we've all had an experience, a false alarm, or we've actually lost our pet ourselves. Alan, what's your story?
Oh, I suppose last year I lost our really old Chihuahua, Prudence, down on the beach. She took off into the bushes and came out the other side and we didn't notice. We got her back really quickly, thankfully, because she had a collar tag on, mm-hmm. which had my mobile number, so the person who found her called and we met up within sort of 20 minutes and got her back.
Speaking of Chihuahuas, Kate,
yes,
what happened with
sadly,
Peanut?
Well, it was a very stressful experience. I came home one day and my front gate had been left open by my teenage son. You know, they can be quite forgetful. And Peanut had gotten out and it was... awful, just heart-wrenching, especially looking for a dog that small, mm-hmm. and anything could happen. But he was microchipped and he was handed into the pound and that's how I got him back. So it was an amazing relief.
Kevin, you've got a very curious little dog, Luna, who likes to dig a bit, I think.
Yeah, look, being a beagle, it's a pretty standard thing that they do. They like to explore. They like to follow their noses. And a few times she... it happened on the one day, actually. She managed to dig out three times that mm-hmm. day. First time, she just sort of dug out and was on the other side of the fence. Second time, she was in the back in the vacant lot behind our house, guarding the yard, apparently. And and she kept coming back in. So when I got home, she was actually inside. And the third time she decided that she was going to go and visit our neighbours around the corner. So they called us because they saw that she had a tag on and we were reunited straight away. Mm. So
my favourite story, I've got a friend back in the UK called Dave and he opened his front door and his staff, he belted out the front door, jumped onto a bus, the doors of the bus closed and the bus drove off and he had to jump in the car and chase the bus.
Yeah, there's a lot of adventurous pets out there. One of our colleagues back at the LDH mentioned that her cat loves to jump in the cars of her people that visit her at her home, so she has to check their car before they leave. Yeah.
So let us know if you have a reunion story. Have you ever lost your pet and how did they get back home to you? You can contact us via SMS in the studio on 0427-JOY-949. Also coming up on Pets Aloud today, our resident vet Alan looks at the science and history behind the tiny piece of technology that is the handy microchip.
In keeping with today's topic, we preview upcoming National Pet Register events.
And at the tail end of the program, we draw the curtains open on our Pet of the Week. Coming up, we bring you up to speed with the news of the week with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap. But first, here is Jesse J with Price Tag. This is Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to wrap up the news of this week. So, Oz, I believe we have an update from one of our former residents.
Yeah, we've got actually a couple of post-adoption updates. And the first one I was thinking we could talk about is Sunday Rose. I think working at the Lost Dogs Home, we come across such really inspiring people and we get a real insight into how these families are just so generous and loving. And Sunday Rose is a great example of this. She came to the Lost Dogs Home in a bit of a state, Alan. I believe you worked with her.
She was quite badly injured. She had an old fracture to her front leg, I think it was her left front leg, which had started to heal wrongly, so what's called a malunion, so the leg was actually bent. And what that means is you get sort of abnormal forces and abnormal wear and tear on the joints and the cartilage wears away, and so they become quite sore quite quickly. And at that stage, the only real option is to amputate the leg, mm-hmm. because if you're going to fix a fracture and it's going to work, you have to do it within the first few days. So we took her, you know, we amputated her front leg. She recovered really well and she's doing fine.
And yeah, and she's a puppy as well. So she still, you know, moves around quite a lot. She's quite bubbly. And Luke and Benny came along to the Lost Dogs Home wanting to find a unique dog. And they met Sunday Rose and she's doing really well. We're really happy to report on that. Another post-adoption story we have is our border collie friend. Her name is Bella. She moved out to the country I think a couple of weeks ago and is really settling in well there. Not typical to border collies. She loves water quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I hear that she's been under supervision herding sheep as well.
That's good. And the next thing is we're about to go launch our annual Christmas Woolworths pet food appeal. So in the next week or two, we'll be rolling out donation bins in about 60 stores across Melbourne. So if people are interested in making a donation over Christmas of cat food or dog food, they actually can go to our website. We will be listing the stores on our website so you can find out if there's one near you. But it's a really important appeal for us. It helps us feed nearly all the dogs and cats for a 12-month period. So we really rely on that and welcome everyone's generosity.
Yeah, it actually, you know, it does provide a lot of the food we use throughout the year, and that's a big thing for us.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's wins. We can direct funds to other services if we don't have to pay for food. So
that's right. And now Reggie, our microchipping Winnebago, is in Tassie. How is that going, Kate?
That's going really, really well. We've actually got a really busy weekend coming up in Devonport. We've had some coverage on the radio down there and lots of people have booked in to get their pets microchipped. But Reggie's already visited Launceston and Georgetown, where we've microchipped 38 dogs in Launceston and 4 cats. I'd still like to see more cats coming out and getting microchipped. But 62 dogs in Georgetown and then 6 cats. So they're enjoying themselves down there and we'll be back there next year, I think.
And that's just in one microchipping day in each place, isn't it?
That's
as well?
Right. So yeah. Just yeah.
It's
just
great to see. And just quickly, there was a study done in the UK on dogs who had spinal injuries, and it might actually help humans. Alan, do you?
Yeah, they used, I suppose, like stem cells to help dogs that had severe spinal injury, so they were paralysed, and they found that they'd actually work quite well. So the owner reports that, you know, the dog is playing almost normally. And I think this is a real win-win situation, because someone's pet gets better and human doctors learn and can observe, you know, how to develop these treatments.
That's right. It's great to see how our veterinary work actually translates into a human sort of section as well, because there's all different practicalities to it and things like that. So for more news on the Lost Dogs Home, visit our website, dogshome.com. And coming up, we're going to be talking a bit about the National Pet Register and some microchipping and all that sort of stuff. So before that, we're going to hear from Aqua with Turn Back Time. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Every year, thousands of lost animals are brought into shelters across Australia without identification. It makes it impossible for shelter staff to contact owners and difficult for owners to then find their pets. Identifying your pet with a microchip and a caller ID tag gives your pet the best chance of coming home.
Formed over 20 years ago, the National Pet Register was established by the Lost Dogs Home in response to the high numbers of dogs and cats that arrived at the shelter without an ID.
Now, Kate, you've actually worked at the Lost Dogs Home since the early stages of the mm-hmm. National Pet Register. What was it like when it first started?
Well, it was quite a small thing. We were just handing out tags at events. We used to go and visit, like, the Melbourne Show or go to an expo and hand out the free tags. And it was really just run out of the Lost Dogs Home reception. You know, people could ring in and order a tag and we'd send it out there and then. So it's not on quite on the scale it is today, that's for sure.
Well, on that scale, how has it grown? Like, what kind of, you know, thing is it now? How big is it? How many animals do we have on the database?
Yeah, well, I guess it's its own department now. So it used to be sort of incorporated as part of the Lost Dogs Home, but now we've separated it out in its own departments and it's in its own office and building. We have, you know, we would have had no staff really dedicated to the National Pet Register. We have about 20 now. So, and we have over a million. We would probably well over a That's million huge. Animals on our register or our database now. And of course, we incorporated microchipping services now, and they came in the early 90s. And we offer, you know, discounted microchipping events. So we're not only just registering the microchips and distributing them, we're actually going out and doing the microchipping and reaching more and more animals. So it really is fitting with the Lost Dogs Home mission, which is to reduce the number of lost and identified identified dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm. So many people seem to confuse council registration with NPR. Like, well, how do we differentiate between the two?
Well, yeah, I guess they do, because, I mean, the NPR tag can look a little bit like a council tag, but it isn't. And also, I think people can get confused with the microchipping as well, that the microchip register is the same as the council registration register. And actually think once they move and live in a different council area and update their details, that would automatically be updated to the microchip register, which it's not. They're two completely different things. And that's what 1212 Pet ID Day is all about. It's about raising awareness and educating people about these things. So we hope we're getting the messages getting out.
Now, what are some of the main features of National Pet Register?
I think, well, the free ID tags, which is absolutely fantastic. I don't think there's any other animal welfare organisation doing that in Australia. It doesn't discriminate. It makes it really accessible. Mm. Every owner can put a tag, some form of identification on their pet. We offer a 24/7 call centre service. So any time of the day or night, you know, public holiday, you can ring and you'll get someone on the end of the phone who can help you reunite a lost pet that you found. The reduced cost microchipping, I think, is brilliant. $25, really reasonable. Again, making it accessible to pet owners to microchip their pet. And Reggie now, our mobile microchipping Winnebago, also going out into regional areas, you know, off the beaten track like we did in Queensland, and bringing it out to people. So again, reaching more and more people and reaching more pets, making sure more are identified.
Now, speaking about bringing it out to people, I'm just going to throw this question. The GLBTIQ community, What is something that we do with National Pet Register every year?
Every year, one of our favourite, if not the favourite event, which is the Midsummer Festival. We've been there, I think, since Midsummer virtually started, and that's where we first met,
Kev. That is where we first met.
Yeah, so we have a great time there, and I think we gave over 300 free tags out last time we were there. Yeah.
So it's a fantastic, so that means, you know, there's 300 more pets out there with ID just from that one day. And if you think about it, we do quite a lot of events each year. So right now we're talking about National Pet Register and also
1212 Pet ID Tag. I guess, like, a lot, we do the microchipping, we do the registering, but I guess part of our job is to educate and raise awareness, and that's what 1212 Pet ID Day is all about.
So it's not just about having a microchip and having a tag or anything like that. It's also making sure those details are up to date. Now, what do I do? So we've seen that there's been such a big rise. So 23,000 pets reunited last year thanks to National Pet Register. 53,000 pets reunited this year thanks to National Pet Register.
Absolutely.
Why are we seeing such a big rise?
I think because we're getting out there with National Pet Register from our perspective. We're out there microchipping, doing more events. I think the raising of awareness, we're doing a lot more on social media too. You know, we're getting people awareness up that they have to put ID on their pets. And it's also required by law in most councils nowadays too. So that's another reason why people are going and doing that, because you have to microchip your pet before you actually register with the council. And I guess the next message, with more and more pets coming in with identification, is getting the message out to keep that identification up to date in terms of contact details.
So just quickly, so I find a pet, what do I do?
You check out, I guess, to see if it's got identification. If it's got a National Pet Register tag, then you can give that register, you can give us a call straight away, and you recite the unique ID tag number, and we'll look it up on the database and give you the owner's details so you can contact them directly. The most important thing then is to call the council if you can't contact the owner straight away. Sometimes animals have their own engraved tags too, and with the mobile number, so you can call the owner directly. But if you're not able to do that, then I think contact the council straight away, because that's where the owner will go.
It's really important that it goes somewhere where someone can scan it for a microchip,
that's
because
true.
There's nothing, you know, if it doesn't have a collar on it, doesn't have a tag, you can't tell whether it's microchipped or not. Mm-hmm. You don't know whether someone's looking for it or not.
No.
And so if you hold on to it, you may be keeping someone's pet
that's
that they're
right.
looking for. So you can bring it into the Lost Dogs Home, take it to any shelter, take it to any vet, they'll scan it. And, you know, if the owner doesn't come forward for it, you can always have it after, you know, they've had their time to find it.
Mm-hmm. And what about if I've lost my pet? What would I do then?
I think you need to come into the Lost Dogs Home. I mean, it's fine, you can phone and you can give us a description, but descriptions can get confused, and, you know, people need to come in and physically look for their dogs, and someone will escort you through all the stray dogs and
talk to you about, you know, identification too, and other things that you can do to go about finding your pet. But absolutely, you can have all the ID in the world and it should work, but you must come in and have a look.
And I suppose call the council as well, because often that's the first place that people go to.
I think if you have lost your pet, to take 5 minutes to think, also, is my contact information up to date? Have I changed my mobile number? Can people get in contact with me?
And in terms of timing, is it something that, you know, you should be doing right away?
Yeah, absolutely. And we find with dogs, people do generally react straight away and contact the register, update their information if it is out of date, or go into the shelter straight away. But with cats, I think people can take a little bit longer. So I guess we want to get people out and looking more promptly for cats. They let them. And with cats also, I think quite often people don't react when they find them, because it's okay and it's acceptable for a cat to be wandering in someone's neighbour, in someone's yard. So I think a letterbox drop is also, or a posters is also, is really effective for cats to make people go out and have a look in their sheds and under the house.
Yep. Okay. Well, you're on Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. All throughout today's program, we're looking at the National Pet Register and ways to identify your pet, but also update the details on your pet's ID. So you've done the right thing and you've gotten a microchip and ID for your pet. Right after, we look at why updating the details on your pet's ID is also just as important as identifying them.
Joy 94.9.
So as mentioned earlier, National Pet Register was established by the Lost Dogs Home in response to the high number of dogs and cats that arrived at the shelter without any form of identification.
Shelters were, however, facing another problem. Pets were arriving without ID tags and microchips, with ID tags and microchips that weren't updated or contained updated details of their owners.
The message of the National Pet Register, which is update, is quite a crucial thing. Guys, why?
Oh, well.
Well, it's really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working and you find ID in an animal, it's exciting because you think you're going to get it back to the owner. And then if the, you know, if the phone numbers lead to no one, and if someone's moved house and you don't get anywhere, that's really, really frustrating.
It's actually really disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was actually talking to our shelter manager this morning about it, and she said around about 50 to 60% of dogs at this stage come in with identification of some form. But she said about every second one needs some form of updating. Like when they contact the register to get the contact information of the owner, there is one thing at least that needs to be updated.
And it's really important that you've got a second contact on there. The more numbers you have, the better, and that you keep those up to date as
well. That's right, yeah.
So what actually happens when an animal arrives at the shelter?
Well, they're checked out for ID straight away. So we generally scan them, I think, with three different scanners. And so once we get the, you know, if we get someone's details, then we start trying to track them down straight away. We call them at different times, and we call them on different numbers, because if people are at work, sometimes they don't answer their mobile phone, so we'll call them in the evening. If we can't get hold of the first number, the owner, there's always, like I said, the secondary contact, so we try and get hold of them. We leave messages. We check out the details in white pages just to see if we can find any match of the names, and we'll contact the council as well to see if there's a dog registered in that name at any address. And finally, I suppose, we send out a registered letter to the address that's on the microchip or the tag, and we wait for a response to that.
So it seems like we actually, you know, at the Lost Dogs Home, we do quite a fair bit of trying to reunite owners. And is that sort of why we've started to see this real increase in the reuniting, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we go to great lengths at the Lost Dogs Home to try and contact the owners. And I think the message of the National Pet Register is getting out there to update the details as well. So more people are heeding that message as well. But we need more people to do it. It really is important.
I think something also worth mentioning is the fact that people have that 8-day period as well to come to the home. Compared to other states, I think we believe that it's a lot less in some states. Maybe New South Wales, it's...
In Queensland, I think it's 5 days,
yeah.
And it varies in other states. But in Victoria, it's 8 days. So, yeah, we're actually lucky in a sense that we've got a longer holding time.
And we will, if they've got ID, we'll generally hold them longer. You know, we hold them until we've exhausted every avenue.
Until we're absolutely sure we can't contact that owner before we put them up for adoption.
Or assess them and see if they go to behaviour rehabilitation or foster or anything like that as well.
Yeah,
I think, again, it's important to note that that can be sort of slightly different with cats as well, because, you know, a lot of people don't start looking for cats straight away. You might just think, oh, my cat's wandered off.
Yeah, exactly. And cats are less likely to have ID in the first place. And people can take longer. So people might actually start looking after 8 days because they think, well, that's been a full week now. It should be home. So I'll actually go and visit the shelter. So it's important that people take action straight away. And I think for people who find pets, as well, as Ellen said, you don't know if it's got a microchip. And some people unfortunately and wrongly think that a shelter is going to be, you know, a scary place for a dog, or they don't want the owner to get a fine. So they'll put a poster up in their local area or do a little bit of a letterbox drop. But that cat or dog might have come from quite a different part of Melbourne. And so it's important that we get them into the shelter so we can scan them, and we could have contacted that owner a week ago, perhaps, you know.
I think that's something important to note as well, is that, you know, people thinking that they're going to get someone a fine just because of their dogs.
That's right.
I think it's really something that you just need to make sure that, obviously, we want pets to return home and, you know, you want that for the pet as well. As much as you might find them and you think they're lovely and adorable, you actually want them to get home.
Someone could be really missing that pet, like a young child, and, it's heartbreaking to lose a pet. So, yeah, and the pet also might be feeling a little bit traumatised as well by being away from home. So, you know, by getting them into a shelter and then facilitating them being reunited with their owner as soon as possible, yeah, you're doing everyone a good service.
I suppose the other thing is, if you think your dog has been stolen, which isn't that common, if you keep your microchip details up to date, if that dog is ever scanned, if it's ever taken to a vet clinic and scanned, or if it years later, if it turns up at a shelter, you will be the person that they will contact.
That's right. I think your microchip is your insurance, because people can't change that information without contacting the original owner first. And I think that's why it's so important to microchip your pets and keep it up to date. So, if someone steals that pet and then they try and put it into their name, you will be notified.
And we do have a bit of a story about that, which we will be talking about just after this song. So you are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home at Joy 94.9. Let us know what you think, though. Do you have any stories? Have you lost your pet before, or have you been reunited with your pet, and how did that happen? You can SMS us 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au, or give us a call 1300JOY949. Almost completely forgot what that was then. So this is Katy Perry with E.T. on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home, Joy 94.9. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, we just received an SMS from Craig, who asked if we at the home can accept donations of fresh bones or meat. Yes, we do accept donations of food and bones as long as they're raw bones. We don't want cooked bones, because cooked bones are bad for the animals. If you'd like to contact our shelter, you can do that on 0393292755, and just ask them and arrange delivery sort of thing as well. You can also have a look on our website at dogshome.com. There's some more information about donating on there as well. So, where am I up to? The National Pet Register unites worried pet owners with their lost pets on a daily basis. Now, over the years, we've seen some fantastic stories of pets being reunited. Now, one of these, as we sort of alluded to before, was about Lily, a German Shepherd that was actually stolen. Now, Kate, tell us a bit more about this.
Lily is a German Shepherd, and she was a much-loved pet of a family. I think they lived in Goulburn, actually. So, in New South Wales, a fair way away, and they woke up one morning and Lily wasn't in their front yard where she normally would be. And they did everything they could to find Lily, but she, for all intents and purposes, had disappeared off the face of the earth. And then 7 months later, Lily came into the Lost Dogs Home, and we scanned her for a microchip, and they had kept their details up to date, so we were able to contact Tracker, was the owner, the guy who owned Lily, and we called them and actually away for the weekend. But when they came home, they had this fantastic surprise in our message on their answering machine, and they jumped in the car and drove 7 hours, which is, I think, 700 kilometres straight away down to the Lost Dogs Home to be reunited with Lily. And it was a lovely, lovely moment when they did see each other the first time. Lily definitely remembered them jumping around, crying, excited. So, and it was all because of the microchip. And he was just, he was so excited, and he was, you know, oh, these are so fantastic, these microchips. So it was a great story.
Now, we've had a few others. So 7 months, you think, okay, that's a pretty good thing. We actually, after the earthquake this year, earlier this year, we had the slight tremor, earthquake, whatever you want to call it. We had a cat who reappeared after 3 years missing. Mm. Now, this cat's name is Fritz. And again, he came into the Lost Dogs Home. We scanned his microchipped. And they kind of, sometimes when you call the owners after their pet has been missing for so long, they think you're joking, that it's not real. How could my pet have reappeared after 3 years? But yeah, Fritz actually reappeared after 3 years after the earthquake. And he was in the paper, he was in the thing, because it's a pretty big deal. Like, you know, and it's all because of that microchip, because he had that identification, and we were able to scan it, and we were able to find him as well. Now, Okay, I know 3 years is a long time, but I think you have me beat, Oslam.
We do have a story, Misty, who was reunited after 5 years. So, again, you know, the ideal situation would be a quick reunion, but this is amazing that after 5 years, Misty, it came through to the Lost Dogs home and was reunited with her owner. Misty was just a kitten when she went missing. So can you imagine 5 years down the track, an adult cat coming back? But apparently, yeah, she was in a good condition. So her owner believes that maybe she did find her way into a nice loving home, but unfortunately they hung on to the cat and didn't do as you guys suggested earlier, get in touch with the council and so forth. Yeah, great story. All of these are up on our website.
And Kate, I believe you have a bit of a personal story about National Pet Register tags.
Yes, I Peanut, of course, and I've had other pets actually go missing. I've minded my mother-in-law's elderly fox terrier who was actually deaf, so I couldn't even go out and call this dog's name because it wouldn't have heard me. And it had actually gone, just as quite often happens with National Pet Register tags, the animal's just around the corner. The neighbours got the hold of the dog and everyone carries their mobile phone and they ring up and it was Gypsy, and Gypsy was reunited with me really quickly. Mm-hmm. But Peanut, yes, he had his microchip and he actually had to go into the pound to get scanned for that microchip. So, yes, I've had personal experience. So I can't recommend it enough.
Look, I think we've all had personal experience when it comes to losing a pet and finding them as well. So that's why we're definitely advocates for identification as well. And yes, make sure that those identifications are up to date. Call your microchip register if you're not sure, if you've moved house, if anything's changed in the last year or 2 years, however long you've had your pet, please, you know, make sure that you do get that microchip. And if you want to find more information about microchips and also how to get microchipped, get your pet microchipped, visit the Pet Register website, which is petregister.com.au. There's a lot more information there about the National Pet Register, as well as where you can find microchip clinics and microchips in general.
Yeah, and we also have a website, 1212day.com, which is all about 1212 Pet ID Day, and that answers a lot of frequently asked questions about microchipping and how it works and the difference between council registration and microchip registration and how to go about locating actually what register your microchip is registered with, because people want to go about updating their information, but people don't know there's actually about 5 different registers in Australia. Mm. So they usually forget what register they're on. So we can help you with that on that website as well.
So you are on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy and 94.9. Coming up right after this, Alan and I are going to talk all things microchip.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home, where it is 14 minutes to 1, which means we only have 14 minutes left. Now, every week, our senior veterinarian at the Lost Dogs Home, Alan Bolton, answers your questions. But this week, we're going to put Alan to the task of giving us a bit of an insight into the small but very handy microchip. Now, Alan, tell us a bit about microchips. Where did they come from? When did they start being used, that sort of thing?
So microchips were introduced for pet ID around about the early 90s, so just when I graduated from vet school. They were new and exciting. They're about the size of a grain of rice, so they're probably about 8 millimeters long, and they're dark gray, and they're implanted under the skin, and they're coated with silicone, so they don't react with anything. How they work, I kind of googled the science, but and it was a bit beyond me, but basically
Dr. Google?
Yes, the scanner emits a sound wave, and the chip absorbs the energy from the sound wave and then sends it back as its individual 15-digit code. In the earlier days, there were lots of different types and brands of chips which worked at different frequencies, which meant that not all scanners read all chips, so it was a bit haphazard. But nowadays, that's been rectified. They're all standardized worldwide, and there will be very, very few, if any, animals still alive who had the old type chips.
Now, I can see that you've actually brought one into the studio with you. Now, that does look like quite a scary device to implant a microchip with. Can you tell us a bit about it? Like, is it painful? Does it hurt? It looks like we're going to post a photo of this on our social media
right now.
Sorry, I didn't have your mic on there.
I'm actually holding it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Tell us a bit about it.
Look, it looks like quite a big needle, but generally it's really quick, really easy, and it's just like a normal injection. It's painless and it's over in a few seconds, and I suppose occasionally you'll get a few drops of blood, which is nothing to worry about, and it's generally only on white dogs because they like to embarrass us that way. Every animal, each species has a certain area where the chip should be implanted. So in dogs and cats, it's sort of between the shoulder blades in the middle of the back. We always scan them first to make sure that they don't have one, and we scan afterwards to make sure that it's working. Very, very occasionally, it might fall out or come out with a needle in the first 24 hours. So it's a really good idea to take your pet into a local vet within the first few weeks to have it scanned, just to check that it's working. And very occasionally they'll move, so they'll travel around. And if they do, then it's a, obviously we might not pick them up, so it's a good idea to put in a new one. So yeah, it's all pretty straightforward.
So thank you very much for that, Alan. If you have a question for our resident vet, send us an email to lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Don't forget, we do actually podcast the show as well. So if you're interested in finding out more, if you want to find out where you can get our podcast, visit our program page at joy.org.au. Stick around. Right after this, we are going to be previewing upcoming dog-friendly events in Dog Dates. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
So we are going to be looking at some, in keeping with today's topic, we're going to preview some upcoming National Pet Register events. So it's important to get out to these events to get the microchipping message out there, to get the free ID tag message out there and everything like that. So, Kate, what are we doing at the moment with Reggie? We're currently in Tasmania.
Yes, we'll be in Devonport this weekend on Saturday the 24th of November. We have already received quite a lot of bookings for that event, but there's still room to book in. You need to get onto the National Pet Register website to do that at petregister.com.au. Microchipping is $25 and we'll be there between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at Rook Street, the council offices for the Devonport City Council. So it'd be great to see more people down there.
And Oslam, what about 12/12 Pet ID Day? What's going to happen then?
Yes, we briefly mentioned 12/12 early in the program and in other programs. But December 12 is shaping up to be quite a big, busy day, particularly in Melbourne. So we're going to have 12 hours of $12 microchipping down at our new Samways, Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
It's very exciting, actually, because I think that's the first time we've really done, I guess, a microchipping marathon, really.
Yep.
And $12 is a brilliant price, and it'll be the first time for people to get a look at the new veterinary clinic.
That's right. So from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m, you've got plenty of opportunity to come across to our clinic at 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
And for more information on that, please visit our website at 1212day.com. Now, all our sort of other events and stuff are online at dogshome.com or petregister.com.au as well. We will also be at Midsummer next year, so make sure you come and say hi. I'm sure we can work out a way for all of us to be down there as well.
I'm sure we'll be there.
So that is our dog dates for another week. If you have a community event you would like to add, please send us an email to lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Please include the event date, location, a brief description of the event, and your contact details as well. And don't forget to log on to our website for a full listing of all our dog dates. So that's dogshome.com. I was going to say dogdates.com. We should get that website.
You can find all the details on our profile on the Dogs Home website.
Or on the Joy website as well, joy.org.au. Right. Now, we did get a question in. Daryl actually called us to ask if he has a pet and sometimes when it goes missing, maybe the vet has had trouble finding the microchip, so not being able to scan it. Alan, what do you recommend that he does?
So if it's not working or if it's not scanning properly or if it's in the wrong area, you simply put another one in the right area. And both chips stay on the dog's database, so it doesn't matter which one they pick up, it'll always be linked to that dog.
That's pretty great. Simple. So there's no real issues with having two microchips at all?
No, you just have to update both microchips if you move or change your phone number.
Just as long as they're not right in the same spot sort of thing, because then we might have a bit of trouble. But yeah, just make sure that you get the vet to thoroughly check over your dog, see where the microchip has moved to and see if you can fix that as well. And also hello to Sarah from Noble Park who emailed us in to say she adopted her dog 8 years ago. So she's 14 years old now. So that's great to hear that she's a big advocate for adoption as well. So if you're thinking about adopting a cat or dog yourself, listen up because right after this, we're going to be unraveling our pet of the week. You're with the Lost Dogs Home with Pets Allowed.
Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, every week we do draw the curtains and put a cat or a dog in the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. Alan, who do we have this week?
This week we have Star, and she's a really sweet and loving cat who's been with us for quite some time, and she needs a quiet new home. She's a little bit shy. When she arrived, she was really badly matted, so we've clipped all her hair off, and, you know, she's not looking like a model at the moment, but in time it'll grow back. You will need to look after her in terms of grooming so that the mats don't reappear, and she probably wouldn't be great with small children just because she's a bit shy. Her animal ID number is 919148. So that, again, that's 919148. If you want to check her out, you can go to dogshome.com or contact the North Melbourne shelter on 9329 2755.
And if you check out our program page on the Dogs Home website, when we put up our Pets Allowed information on Monday, there will be a lovely picture of Star, and you'll be able to see her profile as well. So that brings us to the end of another episode of Pets Allowed. Thank you so much for listening. Next week we're going to be celebrating Joy's birthday, so that's good to hear. On the 1st of December is, you know, World AIDS Day. It's also Joy's birthday, and we might have a little bit of a surprise for Joy as well. So we think that that'll be very excited. And we're also, Oz, what else are we going to be looking at?
Well, with International Volunteers Day, we're going to be speaking with our coordinator of our volunteers program. She's a fantastic person, so we can't wait to have Elena on the program.
Yeah, she's lovely.
So if you have any questions for Alan, our vet, please email us lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can also check out our podcast and more information about the program at dogshome.com/pets-a-loud. So stay tuned for the afternoon with Sammy. I believe she has Ruby Rose and also Todd McKinney possibly coming into the studio. So that sounds like it's going to be a great show. And remember, with the message for NPR is identify, update.
So we can reunite.
That's right. And also to walk your dogs.
Pat your cat.
Thank you very much for listening. You've been with Pets Allowed, the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.